We were coming back from Pennsylvania in a van, our van actually, back a few years ago, coming back from some training. We had some students with us. We're driving through Connecticut, and the traffic was bumper to bumper, and all of a sudden the vehicle in front of us hit something. It ended up being a big stick, a big piece of limb, and it flew up like this and hit the front of my van enough so that it made the whole van kind of shudder, you know, thump like that. And I thought, wow, that must have caused some damage. And we pulled off the next available rest stop to see the damage on the van. And sticking out of the very front of my grill was this great big stick. And it hit perfectly so that it was stuck in there and it had come about that close to the radiator. Would have been definitely a breakdown had it gone any further. And I was thinking, wow, that's cool. And I'm thinking about this. And Mike says, we need to pray. And he pulled us right aside and he thanked the Lord for watching over us and keeping us from injury and from breaking down. If that had been a little higher, it would have gone into the windshield. If it had been a little further in, it would have caused us to be delayed for sure. And we just pulled it out and it had a little scuff mark, that's it, and no damage, and we kept on going. But I've appreciated Mike because he's like that. He stops you in your tracks sometimes. He says, let's pray and let's be real, you know, and this is what it's about. Well, brother, you come and share with us this morning, all right?
Thank you. And 2 weeks ago, I stopped at that exact spot.
Oh, no.
And I remembered that. I mean, there's, wow.
Yeah.
You have to see a stick come flying at you is not very exciting. But God protected us. And oh, my. Okay, well, it's great to be here this morning. And really enjoyed our time in Sunday school and being with you folks again. And for those of you that don't know me, my wife and I and family, we were in Bolivia 10 years with New Tribes Mission and came home fully planning on going back, but God redirected us, and I serve as a representative and also teach missions at New Brunswick Bible Institute. And, you know, it's amazing how God leads, because 2 years ago, a church in Pennsylvania had me do a missions conference. And I went down there, and the Lord in his grace really blessed. And the pastor approached me afterwards, and this is a church of several hundred. And the pastor approached me and said, all three of us pastors and our wives want you to take us and a total of 27 people to Bolivia. And I was like, whoa. And he said, we're going to cover all your expenses. And, you know, I was just thrilled. And because I'm very passionate about Bolivia. But you know what? Long story short, countless hours, phone calls, emails. One day, I had to call the pastor and say, you know what? The Lord's not in this. Very tough phone call, because why? We like to look good. But I called him and said, you know what, brother? I don't see the Lord in this. And he said, you know what's interesting, Mike? He said, I've been sitting at my desk saying, how do I call Mike and tell him we don't see the Lord in it? And so I was trying to make a trip happen to go to Bolivia, and it didn't happen. This year, I wasn't looking to go to Bolivia, and God presented a plan to go to Bolivia. And a little background, 2007, I was speaking in a church in Cochabamba, Bolivia, and I saw a group of white people in the church. And I thought, well, that's interesting. Wonder where they're from. So I approached them after the service and said, where are you from? And they said, well, you would never know. It's just a little place in Canada. And I said, well, whereabouts in Canada? And they said, New Brunswick. I said, well, that's interesting. I'm from New Brunswick. And they said, well, it's from this little place that you'd never know. And I said, well, where is it? And they said, a little place called Fredericton. I said, Fredericton? Fredericton's not little. I'm from Woodstock. And they're like, what? What? And they said, we got to connect. So we've kept in contact. And in Fredericton, there's a church, Devon Park Baptist Church. And they also, up until a year ago, had a Christian school. The Christian school has now gone independent. But every year, they took their seniors to Bolivia. And last year, we were talking and praying. And they went down last year. Okay, and last year, they had some bad experiences. They had a translator who wasn't honest. And at the end, he presented them a bill for $3,500 for 2 weeks of translation. And so many things went wrong. And so I received a Facebook message back in September and said, will you pray about coming and translating this year? And I said, okay, I will pray. But I said, let me ask you a question. Can I take some students from NBBI? Because NBBI always sends out missions trips, and for years went to Texas and also New York. And this year, Neither one of those was possible. And so we're praying about a missions trip. And they said, yes, you can bring 10 students. So I told the students, and Pastor Karen knows how this would probably go. I said, I have an opportunity to take a missions trip to Bolivia. And so if you're interested, contact me. Well, 19 people immediately wanted to go. And I had to narrow it down to 10. And, I got to get out of this because I'm in the middle of my presentation. There we go. Okay, so long story short, we connected with Devon Park Baptist Church and went down to Bolivia. And God did some amazing things. And if anybody here has ever gone to college or sent someone to college or Bible Institute, you know that you're not rolling in the dough. And each student, we had to raise $2,200. And you know what's interesting? I was called one time by a pastor who told me this will never come to fruition. And I said, well, if God's in it, you know, not trying to be arrogant, okay, if God's in it, it will. And you know what's interesting? We passed the amount of money we were supposed to raise. We actually had to call a couple churches and say, we're 100% supported. And they said, well, we still want to send a little money anyway. And it's like, okay. Never in my life had that happen, that we raised more than enough. So we went down to Bolivia, and if you got your Bibles, turn to 2 Timothy, because what we were going to do, for 11 years, Devon Park, they would go down to Bolivia, and they would do a little project, and then they would do some tourism, because they wanted the students to go, so they did something to make it exciting, but it wasn't just a glorified trip, they did do some ministry. But after 11 years, they were realizing they were just going here, there, and everywhere. And so they prayed, Lord, would you direct us to a place that we could go on a regular basis, something that we could build on. And God directed them to this place, the city of Cochabamba, where we have lived for 4.5 years. Sorry, I had to stop and think. My youngest son was actually born in Cochabamba, Bolivia. And in Cochabamba, Bolivia, it's an interesting city. It's at 8,500 feet elevation, but it's like a big bowl. There's mountains all the way around it, and the mountains are at roughly 14,000 feet. So it's a beautiful city, but where the airport is located is on one side of the city. Behind the airport is where the rejects of society go, so to speak. Okay, don't like to use that terminology, but that's how it is. The people that society doesn't want anything to do with, those people that can't get a job, there's no such thing as welfare in Bolivia. And so if people can't make it, they go behind the airstrip, and what they do is they make bricks. They make bricks. And if any of you aren't happy with your wage, okay, get this. That for every 1,000 bricks they make, can you imagine making 1,000 bricks? They get $1.50. $1.50. And this area of the city, there's no water. There's no running water. And so they found this couple. You can see the picture there. Jaime and Sandra Vargas. And their two daughters, Kendra and Cassandra. They have a ministry there. And in fact, a lot of Christian people don't want to go into this area because they say it's too dark. To give you an idea, in this area, a bottle of water, a liter of water, cost 85 cents. 5 liters of homemade alcohol cost 32 cents. So what are people going to do? It's nothing to see children drunk because their parents don't have the money or won't spend the money on water. They'll give them liquor. And you can just imagine the environment. Poverty, sin, and there's no church involved in this area because of the sin. Well, one thing that the Lord has laid on my heart is 2 Timothy 2:2. And the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. The first time that I heard about Jaime Vargas, I said, here's a faithful man. Here's a man that's faithful when nobody knows what he's doing. He's ministering to children. See, what also happens in the brickyards is Bolivia is so different than here, okay? And you've got to realize that. In fact, some of these things happen here as well and in different parts of the world. But if people have a child and they can't afford that child, what do? Is they go back to the brickyards and they drop it off and they leave it. Because they figure it's better for that child to suffer a little while and die than to live a long life of suffering. We can't imagine that. But that's what happens there. So there's children there that are orphans. And I'll show you a couple pictures here. But here is a couple that's faithful. And when I first found out about this couple, I said, I want to invest in this couple. Because that's what God's word says. Here's a man who's faithful. Here's a man who has nothing. But he's reaching out. Even when churches should be reaching out and they're not, he's reaching out. And nobody knows about it. Good check there. Why do we so often do things? Do we look for recognition? He was faithful. In fact, one time he talked to me. He said, I'm just amazed that you guys want to help me. Like, who am I that people want to help me? And then here's a picture of a young man I told about in Sunday school that's helping them as well, Teo. And by the way, as I shared in Sunday school, Teo became a believer because somebody came up to him one day on the street and gave him a track. Even though they were nervous and shaking, they gave him a track. And he got saved as a result. That young man is a tremendous young man. I was just talking with him again last night. I'm excited what God's doing with this man. Let me show you this property, okay? This piece of property, we would look at it as a wasteland. Well, 2 years ago, Devon Park found out that there used to be a hand-dug well on it. So last year they went down, and you can see in the top right picture, there was a well there that was hand-dug. It's 15 meters deep. But over time, for whatever reason, people just threw rocks in it, and it got polluted and was no longer used. So last year, Devon Park went down, and they got that well going. And here you can see the property, and housing looks just a little bit different than here, of course. There you can see them working on the well, building a casing up around to protect it. And if anybody know from Devon Park, Pastor Micah Hiltz, there he is building the casing up. And they built the casing up last year, got the well up, and you can see build up. Now I want you to look at this picture right here. You know, when you look at that, what do you see? You know, so often we look at either property or people, and we say, no use. Can't be used for anything. Ha. Well, Jaime, even though he has nothing, he has a vision. I'm going to show you a picture later on of that same property right there. There's the well. Look at that property. And again, you see that good for anything. Just junk, garbage, sagebrush there. They also put in the well, but their desire was to build a bathroom. But they didn't get it finished. And again, they came home really discouraged. So we went down this year that we wanted to finish the bathroom and we wanted to build a wall of security. Because in Bolivia, if it's not secure, if it's not locked, cemented down, it's going to go missing. Especially in the poverty. Okay, so we went down putting in the plumbing for the bathroom. And again, it's so different than here because here we just go and we buy a piece of PVC and it connects together. Down there, the PVC doesn't have bell ends on it. So if you want to connect two pieces of pipe together, you've got to heat it. You've got to drive a piece of wood in to make it bigger so you can fit it together. Just even putting two pieces of pipe together is a lot different than it is here. So we got the plumbing in the bathroom and by the way, we're going to put two commodes, two showers, and then two sinks in the bathroom. There we are getting it in, getting the plumbing in, getting the floor in, and getting the partitions up for the showers, and we finished it. We took a lot of things from the book of Nehemiah. The people had a mind to work. The people have a mind to work. That was one of our themes. So we got the bathroom done, got sinks in. You know what, it amazed me, when we got them all done, people had never seen a commode before. And they liked it, when we were doing the test, they're like, where's that water going? And then they would run to the other end, and like, how did that come from out there? And folks, they've never seen a commode before. We also, because of just the contamination that's there, we did not want to contaminate it further, so we put in a septic system, and we got a few people certified on running the Mexican backhoe, which some people call the Mexican backhoe, which is known as a round point shovel. And so we had to dig the trenches. The neat thing is we didn't have to go, you know, below for frost. We put the plumbing in, and we had a cement mixer. By the way, Tara Lee Banks ran the, which Mr. Karen used to teach, she ran the cement mixer. Here was a young lady who could take a 110-pound bag of cement and put it up in the mixer, and she ran that cement mixer all day. In fact, she was working with a guy, and she played him out. and a tremendous worker, as a word of encouragement.
Her dad's a lobster fisher.
Right? Okay.
Yeah, so she's used to doing it.
She's used to working. She is a worker. 110-pound. Well, she don't weigh much more than 110, I don't think. But so then we put in a septic tank and a leach field, and again, we got it done. And we had an engineer in Fredericton that designed it. One day I had to call him because he had made the plans expecting stuff from here to be the same as down there. And it was totally different. The inlets and outlets of the tank were different. So I had to call him because we want to do it right. We don't want anybody to get sick because of sewage. So we got the septic tank in. Worked hard, by the way. I'm not sure exactly in Fahrenheit, but one day it hit 38 Celsius. I know that's over 100, and we call it sweating. But anyway, work. The thing that guys, you can't imagine, I'm going to show you a few pictures of kids. Kids were constantly coming up to us. And you know what? Some of these kids didn't even have shoes. And they would come up to us. And you know what? They would just want a hug. You know, you give a kid here an Xbox, and he's like, I wanted an Xbox Live. Or, you know, get upset. All these kids, you give them a hug, and just amazing. Emily here, this little boy came up to her, and he said to her, teach me how to ride this bike. She said, I can't teach you how to ride this bike. It doesn't have a tire, and the chain's loose. He said, but it's a bike. Teach me how to ride it. I said, Emily, he's a little boy. He found this bike. What little boy wouldn't want a bike? I said, it doesn't matter that it doesn't have a tire on it. Teach him to ride it. And she did. And he was so excited because he had a bike. Most of us would just throw that away and say, it's junk. What a blessing that was. And again, a few pictures of these kids. And what amazes me is these kids would be there sometimes 4 or 5 hours. And some of them, we'd find out that they were orphans, that their parents had abandoned them. Some of them had parents, but were wondering why their parents weren't there, why they weren't around. And see the smile on this guy's face by just getting a hug, just being held. This guy came up to me, and for the first time in my life, I realized why I'm a big guy. He said, I've been watching you. He said, you got big shoulders, and I'll fit right on those shoulders. So I picked him up. By the way, when I picked him up, I got him to about here, and I smelled urine and other things. And you know what? Am I going to embarrass this guy, or I'm going to make his day? Put him up on my shoulders and give him a ride. And you know what? The second day, you don't notice it as bad. The third day, he came up to me and said, you got two shoulders. I brought my friend. Give us both a ride. It's interesting. It was just talking to a brother about love. About love. You know, we could say, oh, I can't give you a piggyback ride right now because you smell bad. Wait a second. They don't have water. They don't have showers. And I'm here to tell you that Jesus loves you, but I'm not going to get my hands dirty. Next year when the showers are working, then I'll give you a piggyback ride. I cannot tell you guys what it's like to minister to these kids and to see a smile that a piggyback ride will give. Are we willing to step outside our comfort zone to get our hands dirty for Jesus? This guy helped us work. He's a contractor, came and helped us, and I had there pray for his salvation. One day Tao told me, said, he's not saved. I said, what? I just presumed he was saved. How often do we do that, guys? So I was talking to him, and I said, Javier, you know, he said, I believe the Bible. And I said, well, if you stand before God and God says, why should I let you in my kingdom? He says, because I'm doing good works. He said, I believe that God will put them on a scale and the good will outweigh the bad. And I said, well, that's not what God's word says. And he said, well, let me ask you a question. He said, I'm giving my time. I'm working hard to help these people. I know Christians that don't do anything. I said, well, I agree with what you're saying to one extent, but I said, do you want to come to Canada and go visit some churches? He said, if Christians understand, why don't they get involved? By the way, when we left, he said, I'm really thinking about this. And he said, I have a hard job believing that Canadians would come all the way down here and do this dirty work. He said, it don't make sense to me. I can't figure it out. Pray for his salvation. We had a bus driver, Pablo. Usually what happens with a bus driver is when he's not needed, he just sits in the bus because he's paid to drive the bus. They're not going to do anything else they're not required of. And the second day he gets off the bus And he says, normally a bus driver just stays in the bus, and if you're going to work for 4 or 5 or 8 hours, whatever, I'll just stay in the bus. But he said, I'm a Christian. And he said, I can't sit in that bus anymore. I want to help you. If you want me to go somewhere, I'll go somewhere. But in the meantime, I'm going to help you. He was so challenged. In fact, his wife, Cynthia, came to us and said, my husband has changed while you guys were here. She said, he comes home at the end of the day and saying, maybe God has got me to do more than drive a bus. Because there's kids that need Jesus. And so he became a dear friend. Him and his wife got up at 4:30 in the morning to say goodbye to us. And they all gave us a little gift. It was just blown away because he has nothing. Put the footer, the foundation in. We built a wall. Again, we did the bathroom, the septic tank. But then we built a wall and 6,000 bricks. And there's Jaime working. And you know the interesting thing about Jaime is he's not saved that long. But it's evident to me the joy of the Lord in this man. And his burden to reach these children. And working with him is contagious. One thing that amazed me is these kids, they come out. You know, here, I don't know how it is happening here, but here it seems in North America, chores, you can't give a kid a chore anymore because for whatever reason. Huh. These kids would come up and they're like, you want us to move that brick pile from here to over there? And we're like, well, it's got to be done. Man, they just start carrying bricks and get involved and happy. Just blow you away. Putting up the wall, building the wall, 6,000 bricks, which is just totally amazing. And the wall went up. I also challenged them in Nehemiah. One time Nehemiah was facing opposition. And so Sanballat and Tobias said to them, even a fox could knock down this wall. I said, hey guys, we want to finish this wall, but we want to do good work. And on the second day, I approached Jaime, and you look at that wall there, and I said to Jaime, I know Bolivian construction. And I said, we're building this wall just a little bit too beefy. There's no Bolivian code, but I said, this is above code. I said, why are we building this? Yes, we're paying for it, but I want to know why we're building it this way. And you know what he says? He said, I'm not trying to deceive you guys. But he said, I'm believing God to build a church here. And in Bolivia, you can put two of your walls on the property line. And he said, this is the first wall of the church. This is someday going to be a church. Boy, do you think people picked it up a little bit? We're not just building a wall, we're building a church. And the first wall of the church is now done. Trusting the Lord to build. I said, Jaime, you have nothing. And you're trusting the Lord to build a church here? There's got to be a light there. By the way, people, I believe, see them as the light because one day a woman came and her husband had been drunk and beat her. And she came and she said, can you give whatever you have to my husband so he won't do this? And then the husband came and he said, I'm struggling with alcohol. You don't beat your wife. How can I be like you? Just seeing people drawn to the light, drawn to the light. Was really impressed with the students. By the way, scaffolding there is just a little bit different. And you just take a pole, stand it, take a 2x4, lay it on the brick, run it out to the pole level, wrap hay wire around it, and call it good. And I said, Brother Jaime, I'm going to wrap that hay wire 3 or 4 or 5 times before I get up there. But we worked, never had any incident, worked in incredible heat, got the wall done. Got the bathroom done, got the septic system done, got the wall done. And guess what? We got it done ahead of time. And something happened that I've never experienced before. Just like the widow's jar of oil, our money never ran out. We had leftover money. So we did a few extra things with our money. I'll tell you those here in a second. We did have one problem with Jaime. He wouldn't stop for lunch. So one day said, Jaime, go stop and have your lunch. You can't keep working if you're not nourishing yourself. So he went and took his lunch, and then I went to see to make sure that he went to eat his lunch, and I found him with a child, sharing his lunch with a child. Just blew me away, the heart that this guy has. His daughter, I believe his daughter has the gift of evangelism. There's Cassandra, just grabbed the little girl and loving on her. And everybody learned manual work there. We had a pile of dirt that had to work, or sorry, had to be moved, so we got in. Moved it. Just look at the kids, the smiles on their faces. You ever see such smiles from just a hug? Huh. This little guy came and would hang out in the morning. And just blow you away. This picture here, the girl on your left, Norma is her name. Her dad passed away about a year and a half ago. Her mother got a new man. We don't know all the story, how it happened, and we don't know this other man, if his wife passed away, they divorced, or what happened, but he had five children. And when he moved in, he kicked Norma out. He says, "You're no longer living here." 11 years old. You know what's interesting? She never had a pair of shoes. She never had a pair of shoes, but through the ministry of Jaime and Sandra, she accepted the Lord. And she came around, and you know what? Numerous of us would say, this girl has nothing. Her parents have kicked her out. And each day she works hard. And some days she doesn't even get paid. But there's no hint of bitterness in her. Totally blew us away. By the way, today there's a church in Nova Scotia that's taking up an offering to send down and buy some clothes for these kids. Because these kids have nothing. Oh, there's Tara Lee, by the way. You probably recognized her. These kids, you guys just can't imagine to see these kids. This little fella, again, coming around, did a VBS program. VBS seems to be dying out down there. You know what's interesting? You just say, hey, kids, we're going to run a VBS this afternoon. And you know what? 80 to 140 kids show up. 80 to 140. There we are. I got to back up to that one picture. Remember when I showed you the picture of the well? That little cement cover just right to the bus is the top of that well. Jaime has hauled loads and loads in there and built that property up, and now it's a level, usable piece of ground. Just amazing what he has done there. Pictures of running VBS, doing some games. One thing that impressed me is Jaime and Sandra, that they wanted us to break the kids up into small groups. And they come up with this idea. They've never attended a VBS. But they said, we want part of the children hearing God's word. We want part of them having games or crafts or whatever. But we don't want the group too large that's hearing the gospel, because we don't want distractions. We want them to clearly hear the gospel. Just blown away by that. Have you ever seen anybody get so excited about bananas? Just give these girls, we always bought extra food and give it out. And these girls were just like, you're going to give me this banana? Like, I can eat it myself? Wow. One of the things we did with the extra money was this wall just had a broken window in it. So we fixed it up. And because there's no wall around that part, putting glass in wouldn't last. So we just bought a window frame and put rebar in it and fixed it up. Another thing we did was we went around, talked to some doctors and dentists, and asked us if they would come and help us, if they would volunteer Saturday. And if they did that, we would buy all the supplies. We bought $1,000 worth of medical and dental supplies. The money just didn't run out. I'm serious. We had it in a bag, and three of us were overseeing it. We'd go and take money out to buy bricks or cement, and then next time we'd go back, and we're like, wait a second. Okay, we still have money, okay. So we did this medical and dental outreach. And what we did was, when people came, we registered them. And then in groups of 10, we had a pastor share the gospel in groups of 10. And then after he shared the gospel, we took them off individually and shared the gospel with them to make sure. Did you understand what Pastor Angel shared with you and talked with them? And there were 10 of us that did that. And then the medical, the dental side, had three dentists help us and one doctor and a chiropractor. This guy here, Bernardo is his name. He didn't even know how old he was. He had his birth certificate and he gave it to me. And I said, Bernardo, you're 38 years old. He said, I must be a lot older than that. His heart rate was only 40. He's been bitten by the benchuga bug. And he has what's called Chagas. What happens with Chagas is your heart just slowly stops. He's 38 years old, and he said, I have no desire to live. I have no energy. So we shared the gospel with him, and he said, I just be okay with just dying. Just so sad. The chiropractor working on people. That day, we believe that 26 people got saved. 26 people got saved. And when they accepted the Lord, had the privilege on the bottom right, Yvette accepted the Lord, and when they accepted the Lord, we gave them a Bible. And I gave Yvette a Bible, and he said, would you do something for me? And I said, okay. He said, would you mark, underline every verse in the Bible that has encouraged you? Because if it's encouraged you, I know it'll encourage me. I said, man, I've never heard that before. And then he says, by the way, could you get me going on reading? I'm like, just a second, that's my next line. And he said, I want to get reading God's word. And it was just interesting to see the Lord working. And we also asked everyone that got saved, hey, can we have your cell phone number? Bolivians have cell phones. They're big into texting. And can Jaime and Sandra want to text you on a regular basis? Can we have your permission? And every one of them said, yes, please do. Encourage us. Send us those things. Just a couple shots of the girls. It's amazing how many people in the brickyards want to be doctors. Why? Because they see the needs all around them. Just amazing needs. This girl, by the way, that I went by already, Niella, 5 siblings in her family, 2 have already died because of malnutrition. This little girl, Yovana, she was a heartbreaker. Her favorite thing to do, come to VBS and sing praises to God. This guy, Isaiah, we found out he had a broken arm. So we're able to get him some medical help and attention. Another thing we did with our money left over, we went and bought food. We bought rice, noodles, sugar, oatmeal, and then cooking oil. And we went around to 50 families. We put it all in portions and went around the community there distributing the food. You know what one of the difficulties we had? Deciding which 50 homes to choose. This lady, Quechua lady, and her boy were walking down the road. As you can probably tell there, the boy only has a shirt. Very common thing. Not even to be fully clothed because they just don't have the resources. You can see the apartment complexes there. Some of those apartments, we call them, were only 10 by 10 or 12 by 12. And you'd find a family of 5 living in there. One time we went up to one and we gave him the food and the woman just started crying. She just started crying. And she said, forgive me for being this bold, but she said, we share this with my brother. And he has 5 kids. Like, what? There's 4 adults and 9 or 10 kids living in this house that's no bigger than 10 by 10? And she said, oh, yes. Can you guys even imagine? You just can't imagine the tremendous ministry. Making bricks. Show you guys how hard brick making is. Okay, yes, they take dirt. They take dirt. If you remember the children of Israel, they what? Use straw. Okay. Well, they used to use straw years ago, but now they use sawdust. And get this, they also use chicken manure because chicken manure is free. And so that'll stretch it a little bit further. So can you imagine that? Mixing up dirt, sawdust, and chicken manure, and then there's a table there, and they have a form there, a mold, and they take and they have it in a wheelbarrow, and they scoop it up, plop, whoop, plop, and then wipe it off and then dump it down. And then they've got that on their hands. Most of them eat coca, chew coca leaves. The coca leaf, when it's refined, gets you cocaine. And they chew the coca leaf, they get a little buzz from it. But can you imagine? You've got that dirty dirt, water, chicken manure, sawdust on your hands. Then you grab coca leaves. The average age is 25 in the brickyard. Average age, 25. This is their water supply. This is their water supply. Can you imagine? Can't even fathom it. Very, very hard. But you know what? God is doing an amazing work there. Trusting the Lord to go back next year. But appreciate your prayers. Trusting the Lord to plant a church there. Trusting the Lord to do a great work. They need to hear. And as 2 Timothy 2:2 says, commit these things to faithful men. It's so refreshing to find a brother who's faithful when nobody even knew what he was doing. I'd like to just pray. Heavenly Father, just thank you again for my brother Jaime, his wife Sandra, Cassandra and Kendra, what they're doing down there in the brickyards. Lord, I pray for them. I pray, Lord, for the opposition that they face from their own family. I pray, Lord, for the salvation of their family, for Jaime's family, for Sandra's family, her brothers, her sisters, her mother. Lord, we pray for a great working there. Lord, stir our hearts. There's so much we can be doing, so much be involved, even right here in Madawaska. Lord, guide us. And Lord, may we have love for these people that sometimes smell. Maybe we're willing to get our hands dirty, which is out of our comfort zone, which has been out of my comfort zone in the past. But God, may we be willing to be your hands and feet. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.